From NPR News in Washington, I'm Jack Speer. The Pakistani-born man accused in the failed Times Square bombing attempt was in federal court today. Faisal Shahzad pleading guilty to attempted use of a weapon of mass destruction and a variety of other terrorism and weapons-related charges. Shahzad, whose hearing was to have been held earlier today but was pushed to later in the afternoon, faces charges in connection with the failed bombing attempt May 1st. He was arrested 2 days after an explosives-laden SUV failed to go off in Times Square. Shahzad could face life in prison at sentencing. The man running a $20 billion oil spill damage fund, Kenneth Feinberg, says he will make sure people can file claims easily and get their money quickly. We get details from NPR's Paul Brown.
Kenneth Feinberg ran the 9/11 Victims Compensation Fund. He says as he takes charge of the oil spill fund that he's seen firsthand the emotionalism and frustration among Gulf Coast residents whose livelihoods and ability to pay bills are now devastated. Feinberg tells NBC that BP has a payout system and that he's making every effort to ensure claims can be honored quickly.
BP has already something in place which we'll build upon, but there is no reason that a local fisherman or any businessman or individual can't file a claim promptly.
BP says it's paid out more than $100 million so far. Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.
The Supreme Court is preserving the government's most important legal tool in fighting terrorism. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports on the challenge to the material support statute.
The High Court voted 6-3 to keep the material support law in place. The statute bars people from giving training and advice to terrorist groups, even if it takes the form of money for food and medicine. The case involved the Humanitarian Law Project, which advised a group in Turkey that was later branded a terrorist organization. The Law Project said the government violated its First Amendment rights of speech and association. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the majority opinion. He says the government deserves a lot of leeway to protect national security. But the court's majority left open the possibility the law could go too far in other cases. Justice Stephen Breyer and two others on the court dissented. They said the government didn't provide any evidence and that the law turns political speech into a crime. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
A widely hailed Obama administration program designed to help keep people in their homes does not appear to be living up to expectations. According to new figures out today, roughly a third of the 1.24 million borrowers who were initially signed up for the $75 billion program have now dropped out. Analysts fear many will ultimately wind up in foreclosure. Some homeowners owe substantially more than their properties are worth. Stocks gave up some of their earlier gains amid word China will gradually allow its currency to float higher against the dollar. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 7 points to close at 10,443 today. The Nasdaq lost 20 points. The S&P 500 dropped 4 points. You're listening to NPR. Frustrations over the growing number of power outages in Iraq that erupted into violence over the weekend have now led to the ouster of the country's electricity minister, Karim Wahid, announcing his resignation as there has been growing unrest about frequent blackouts there. Over the weekend, two protesters were killed when police opened fire to disperse a crowd in the southern city of Basra. The Iraqi public has become increasingly frustrated over the government's inability to provide power for more than around 6 hours a day, along with clean water and other utilities. China is letting its currency trade more freely, but as Daniel Carson explains, analysts don't expect a big jump in the value of China's currency.
China has pegged its currency to the U.S. dollar for the past 2 years, keeping the yuan's value artificially low to pump up exports. It makes Chinese goods on American store shelves cheaper and imported goods more expensive for Chinese consumers. David Ressler, chief U.S. economist with Nomura Securities, doesn't expect Beijing's decision will have much of an impact.
It's not clear how much China will allow their currency to appreciate, but it doesn't look like it's going to mean a sudden revaluation of the yuan against the U.S. dollar.
Some analysts say letting the yuan trade more freely is aimed at softening criticism of China's currency policies ahead of this weekend's G20 economic summit in Toronto. For NPR News, I'm Danielle Carson.
In Billings, Montana, city officials say they are counting their blessings despite the fact the city was hit by a tornado yesterday. That's because a sports arena that was hit by the storm was empty at the time, unlike the day before when it was jammed with thousands of arena football fans. Twister tore the roof off the facility, causing millions in damage, but no serious injuries. I'm Jack Speer, NPR News in Washington.